Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 7, Chapter 4, Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe, text 39. Kvachit rudati vaikunta chinta shabala chetanaha kvachit dasati tachinta lara udgayati kvachit kvachit. Sometimes, rudati cries, vaikunta chinta, by thoughts of Krishna, shabala chaitana, whose mind was bewildered, kvachit, sometimes, hasati, laughs, tat chinta, by thoughts of him. Alada, being jubilant. Ugayati, chants very loudly. Kvachit, sometimes. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because of advancement in Krishna consciousness, he sometimes cried, sometimes laughed, sometimes expressed jubilation, and sometimes sang loudly. Purport. This verse further clarifies the comparison of a devotee to a child. If a mother leaves her small child in his bed or cradle and goes away to attend to some family duties, the child immediately understands that his mother has gone away, and therefore he cries. But as soon as the mother returns and cares for the child, child laughs and becomes jubilant. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, being always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, sometimes felt separation, thinking, where is Krishna? This is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shunayitam Jagat Sarvam, Govinda Vahare Name. When an exalted devotee feels that Krishna is invisible, having gone away, he cries in separation. And sometimes when he sees that Krishna has returned to care for him, he laughs. Just as a child sometimes laughs upon understanding that his mother is taking care of him. These symptoms are called bhava. In the nectar of devotion, various bhavas, ecstatic conditions of a devotee are fully described. These bhavas are visible in the activities of a perfect devotee. Kvachit rudati vaikunta chinta shabala chaitana kvachit dasati tachinta lada udgayati kvachit. Because of advancement in Krishna consciousness, he sometimes cried, sometimes laughed, sometimes expressed jubilation, and sometimes sang loudly. Mama Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tiramane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyadyade Satarne. It is said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to enjoy hearing about two devotees, especially. One of them was Dhruva Maharaj. Every time they finished, someone would finish reading the story of Dhruva Maharaj to him. Then he would want to hear it again. And the other was Prahlad Maharaj. He wanted to hear that story repeatedly. And if we look at the Srimad Bhagavatam, this particular canto, we'll find that more than Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj, this seventh canto is devoted to Prahlad Maharaj, his teachings especially, his activities and his teachings. He's an example of a prema bhakti. And of the Mahajans, Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapila, Manu, Prahlado, Janaka, Bhijmo, Vayur, Vyasakir, Vayam. Prahlad Maharaj is outstanding, is that he's a pure devotee. And his example is manifested here also in what's called the Bhavas. There are five bhavas. Does anyone know what the five bhavas are called in Sanskrit? I know two. Anyone else know? Anyone know any of them? Anubhava. What is Anubhava? It's one of those bhavas. Anything else? Okay. Adipurushuru.
Bhava.
What is it?
Yeah. The basis of all the others, the relationship between the object and the subject of love.
And what are the Sanskrit names for the two categories?
And Vishaya.
And the subdivision of?
Uddipana and Alabhana.
Yeah. Which means?
Uddipana are the stimulants, and Alabhana are the ornaments, the decorations. And the qualities of Krishna are called the Uddipanas, the stimulants.
Or even devotees.
Man.
Yeah, there's not only Krishna, but also anything that reminds one of Krishna.
Yeah. And so this is the basis. Then there is Sai Baba. This is this one of the 12 steady tastes, which we usually call rasas. And then there is Satyaka Bhava, the 8 transformations of the body. Then there is, as you said, Anubhava's actions that one performs as a result of feeling the emotion. And then there is Vyabhichari or Sanchari Bhava's, the 33 transitory flavors.
Sanchari is the same as Staye.
Which?
Sanchari Bhava is the same as Staye.
As Vyabhi.
Vyabhichari Bhakta is different. That's
Vyabhichari Bhava and Sanchari Bhava, these are the two are the same.
No. Anyhow.
You can check.
Okay.
If we had Ananda Vardhana, he would be able to. Maybe Ananda Prabhu also.
But anyhow, whatever, it's the same. So we have Vyabhichari Bhava, we have Satika Bhava, Anubhava, Stai Bhava, and we have Vibhava. And they compare it to just like the ocean. In the ocean, there are the basic principle, and when we're talking about the ocean, is the ocean. And that's compared to Stai Bhava. The Stai Bhava is, our Stai Bhava is generally considered one of five. Namely, the neutral, Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. These are the five categories of Stai Bhava. And in this material world, there are 7 indirect rasas manifested too. Does anyone know the 7 indirect rasas? No one has any emotion here. You're shielded from all these emotions. Yes.
Chivalry,
yes. So who's an example of a chivalrous bhakta?
Bhishma,
yes, Bhishma. Oh, Arjuna, Bhishma. So, and what's another example of one of the 7 rasas? Well, who
ghastly.
Would? Ghastly. What's an example of a ghastly rasa? Analyzation of what the ingredients of the material body are. We find in the Krishna book, or the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna was speaking to Rukmini Devi and telling, I think I'm about to leave you because I don't really think I'm qualified to be your husband because I ran away from, I took shelter in the ocean and actually Shishupala is more qualified than I am and actually I'm poverty stricken and even my devotees are poverty stricken. See, you're a princess. I'm really not worthy of you. So, Rukmini fainted hearing that she was about to be separated. Of course, nowadays it's common. How long have you been married? Oh, around 100 years. My God, isn't it time you got separated? I mean, but it was uncommon in the Vedic culture, especially since Rukmini was grown up and had grown up children, that suddenly her husband was going to separate himself from her. And that he was expecting her to get married again. Nowadays it would be common. But then it was unheard of. And so she fainted, and then when Krishna woke her up, she began to explain how everything Krishna had said was actually valid. And one of the things she said is that how can you become attracted to this body, or how can any woman become attracted to these persons that you were telling me were so powerful and worthy of my attraction? And then she described what they're made out of, which we don't have to go into. But that's called the ghastly rasa, analyzing the components of the body. Like if I said, the most beautiful man or woman, if you just peel away their skin, will they still be attractive? It's a real, not a very romantic conception. What other rasa? We have shimmery, we have ghastly. Wonder. Adbhuta, wonder. Is that a rasa? An indirect rasa. What's the example of wonder?
Maybe Sanjaya.
Yeah, even Sanjaya, even more than that, was Arjuna when he saw the universal form. He was struck with wonder. Yes. Sai Bhuta is there. And then what else?
Laughter,
Hasya Rasa. Was an example of laughter, Hasya Rasa. Well, that's the nectar of devotion. And Krishna says to the gopis, this Radharani, she's so devious, she's claiming that I took yogurt, and she's shamelessly coming up to my face to smell whether I have yogurt or not. Please refrain her from this devious act. There's many examples of Hasya Rasa. Anything else? What about fear? Plenty of fear in the Bhagavatam. Kamsa was so fearful of Krishna. He was always thinking about him, how he's going to come and kill him. So far we have Adbhuta, we have Hasya, we have, what's the word for chivalry?
Virya.
And there's divisions of that. There's chivalry by giving charity, chivalry by fighting, chivalry by renunciation. And ghastly, what's the word for ghastly?
Vibhata.
And we have fear, bhaya. What else? So how many do we have so far? Do we have another one? Fear, ghastly, chivalry, laughter, chivalry. We have two more. Daya. Anything else? What's the last one? We didn't say anger yet? No. Yeah, anger. Like, Lord Nrisimhadev getting angry at Hiranyakashipu and ripping him apart. Or Mother Yashoda rebuking the cowherd boys because they left Krishna unprotected. He was out there and he was attacked by the demons. Mother Yashoda got angry at the cowherd boys. So these are called indirect rasas. And they manifest and unmanifest in the material world. And there's a whole explanation of them in the Nectar of Devotion. Matter of fact, the Nectar of Devotion, the last part, after you get through the 19th chapter, then the rest of it is all about rasa. And to understand rasa is important, especially if one becomes an author of spiritual literature
to prevent
what's called rasabhasa, virasa, and rasabhasa, and different types of anomalies in rasa. So Prahlad Maharaj was, his activities were manifestations of bhava. Bhava is the beginning of life, spiritual life. We say it's the beginning of spiritual life, but actually it's the beginning of real life. Our life is meant for bhava. The material world is some place where everyone's looking for bhava. They call love. Everyone's looking for some kind of feeling, pure feeling. And all the poets, they're all singing about pure love. Unfortunately, the object of pure love is not so lovable. The sentiment of love is attractive, but the object of love, mainly this body, ultimately it winds up as the ghastly rasa. Because no matter how much we love someone, we can't even see who they are. The real person we don't see. We see their external manifestation of this body, which is just made out of earth, water, fire, and air. Which means it's made up of different energies. But the real energy that we're trying to love is the soul. But because we don't see the soul, we don't actually love the soul, we fall in love with Krishna's energies. Which is lovable, but only lovable, really lovable. I only can really invoke our actual feelings and expand them only in relationship to Krishna. Because Krishna is the one personality who can expand our loving propensity unlimitedly. Otherwise, it's called punak punas charvita charvananam. You can chew on some material object for some time, but after a while you get tired of it. You'll have to renounce it and find something else to chew on. So nowadays, of course, where sex desire has become so prominent and religious life, spiritual life, spiritual conception, or even regulation of material, of activities has become diminished greatly. In other words, our natural feelings, positive feelings towards others, is even awakened when we're in more in the mode of goodness. Some respect, some appreciation is there, some courtesy, whatever. But as one falls into the lower modes of nature, especially passion, ignorance, then the result is that there's less and less appreciation, less and less respect, and more simply acting for gross exploitation. So nowadays, when people are simply encouraged to exploit each other to the maximum, therefore actually love is diminishing. And envy, anxiety, hatred is increasing. As a matter of fact, the people who are the most concerned about discrimination and envy and anger or whatever, they're usually the most angry and discriminating out of all of them. They can't tolerate anyone who doesn't agree with them. But that simply is, you know, product of the mode of ignorance that people have fallen into. But to examine someone like Prahlad Maharaj, how he was a friend of everyone, how he was instructing his classmates about Krishna, because without Krishna, there's no question of actual love. Of course we love, because our nature is to love. Now we love this body, and we love things in relation to the body. We love things that make the body feel comfortable, because they make us feel comfortable. And we hate things that make the body feel uncomfortable, because it makes us feel uncomfortable. But these things are all temporary. They're all different manifestations of the material nature, because now we have this body, and we're so concerned about this body, whether it's comfortable or not painful. But soon we have to leave the body and we'll get another one, made out of the same material elements, and we'll be equally concerned with that body. That'll be made comfortable. An endless cycle, trying to make something comfortable, some body comfortable, and in the endeavor acquiring so many sinful reactions, and therefore putting ourselves into uncomfortable positions. Just like to get a comfortable position in the material world, if you haven't done unlimited pious activities in your previous lifetimes, you have to work hard to get a comfortable place. People work hard to get a nice house. They work really hard, pay off the mortgage year after year and work for it. And then they have no time to live in it. There's so much anxiety trying to get it, they can't even sleep at night. They've got a comfortable bed, but they keep on moving around in it. They can't sleep in it. And then they take intoxication in order to try to make themselves peaceful. And then they get even sicker. And they have to take pills and pills and pills. And their health deteriorates. And they can't even pay off the house. And after almost paying off the mortgage, working for 40 years, then the bank possesses the house and they're living on the street for all their endeavor. And this is called progress. Called material civilization. But actually, civilization can only go on properly when there is God consciousness. Otherwise, it's just not possible that Krishna Bahir Mukha Bhoga Vanchitare Nikatasta Tare Japitiyadare. We may deny Krishna, but we can't deny his police force. We may deny that God exists, but his police force is there, arresting us and chastising us for our inability to properly understand our relation with Krishna or accept our relation with Krishna. Therefore, although we think, well, we're independent, but we're not independent because we're given these material bodies to torture us with old age, disease, and death, the threefold miseries from the nature, from other living entities, from our own bodies. We're made to suffer because by the material nature, although we declare ourselves independent from God, but we're not independent from God's police force. We may deny God, and we may even deny his police force, but that doesn't end our suffering. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is an example for us of how to love Krishna. Simple. He didn't do anything very complicated. He didn't get his PhD from a university. He didn't become a CEO of a big corporation. Anything that's worthy of glorification nowadays. Matter of fact, he probably was kicked out of Gurukul. He didn't even graduate from Gurukul twice. He's the first example in history of a child who was abused by his parents. But he was quite rebellious according to history. He didn't listen to his parents at all. And he was so recalcitrant that even corporal punishment didn't dissuade him from his rebelliousness. He was fixed. So anyhow, it's quite a history of Prahlad Maharaj. But ultimately, we can see all he was doing is dancing and chanting and telling people about Krishna. And yet, when Lord Nrisimhadev came and bifurcated Hiranyakashipu, all the demigods were afraid except for Prahlad. And Prahlad was... Lord Nrisimhadev put his hand on his head. Prahlad Maharaj became even more enlightened. Was able to offer wonderful prayers that we can find out about in the course of time. So this is all due to love. The only thing we really need is love. I think that there was some stuff. Didn't the Beatles sing something about that? Something about all you need is love? Is that a song? What's that? Is that the only verse in the song?
Yeah.
That's the only verse. See, that's all you need is love.
Yeah.
There's nothing more to sing about. But love means love for Krishna, ultimately. And if we love Krishna, it doesn't mean that we'll love everyone else less. It means we'll actually love everyone. The example of Prahlad Maharaj, it wasn't because he loved Krishna, therefore he didn't love anyone else. No, he loved everyone else more. And therefore he said, I'm concerned about everyone. He saw everyone as part of his family, and he was trying to help them come to Krishna consciousness so they can experience Krishna's love also. Because that's ultimately what everyone is looking for, is to experience Krishna's love and the love that we have for Krishna. That's why God himself comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came for three reasons. Does anyone know the three reasons? Wow, we don't even know what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, and he's right here. Why did you come? No one ever even asked him. Why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come?
Yeah.
What's that?
What the Radha Spirit was here.
Okay, that's one. Yes. Well, we're also calling him. He doesn't come, but he came for three internal reasons. Yes, that's one. That's one of the reasons that was considered an external reason why he came. But what are the three internal reasons? Yes, Adi Purusha.
To see what Radharani sees in him, what she tastes in him.
The unlimited qualities that he has, how she relishes them. Yeah, so he wanted to experience, Krishna wanted to experience Radharani's love. Just like we love and we get happiness from loving. That's why we get a dog. Because we love, we want to be affectionate. Even, I was hearing that sometimes ladies become CEOs of big corporations. But they still are ladies. They still have the tendency to want to be affectionate towards something. So since they don't have time for anything else but just working at their job, when they go home at night, they have in their bed they have a teddy bear. So they're affectionate to the teddy bear because they have to display their affection towards something. So we enjoy being affectionate towards others. So the greatest affection is Srimati Radharani. So we want to feel, Krishna wanted to feel her, what she feels when she's affectionate towards him. And when she's affectionate towards Krishna, Krishna's qualities are manifested. And Krishna has unlimited qualities, so she wanted to experience what Krishna's qualities were like, his unlimited qualities. Because she experiences his qualities more than anyone else because of her affection. At the same time, Krishna loves her, and she experiences Krishna's love, which is unlimitedly enjoyable. No one can love except for Srimati Radharani, who is Krishna's internal loving potency. So they both have unlimited love. That's why their relationship is so nice. They inspire, in their relationship, pure love is manifested and develops unlimitedly. So that's the tendency for everyone, and therefore Krishna consciousness is so attractive, because if we become even a little Krishna conscious, then those feelings will be towards everyone. We'll try to make everyone happy. We'll be able to experience everyone's good qualities, even though sometimes they hardly exist. And we'll be able to be affectionate towards everyone, love everyone. Just like, so, that, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to experience, we can also experience. And that's the whole aim of the Hare Krishna movement, to learn from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to experience those things. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Thank you very much. This last statement is very intriguing that you made, is that when we become successful in our advancement, then we will experience also these three things. When we look at the living entities, we will understand, we'll appreciate their qualities.
Yes.
We'll appreciate their love and the bliss they experience in their relationship.
Well, we'll experience our bliss by loving them. And we'll experience how they actually, for a Mahabhagavat, he sees everyone as better. He sees everyone as a servant to Krishna. Therefore, he also sees them as loving Krishna, and he also experiences the good qualities. Even sometimes they hardly have any, but he sees even the smallest good quality as a good quality and amplifies them.
So, by following Sri Chaitanya, just so I remember, just so I thank you, it's very interesting, but just so I remember, so by serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we will be able to achieve similar goals in a universal way, similar three results by the blessings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srimati Radharani. Is that how it goes?
Well, we all in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nanayana. By Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then all those things are manifest. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has delegated some of the responsibilities to train us to, for instance, Lord Nityananda, as the original spiritual master, to teach us Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, Advaita Acharya, to show us how to become a perfect servant of Gaura Nitai, how to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of the internal spirit, which we're talking about, Prigadara Pandit, and how to become a perfect Brahmin and devotee of all the Panchatattva, or the other Panchatattva members through Srivas Thakura. So they're a team. They come as a team, a perfect team, to amplify each other's devotion, devotional service. Yes.
I have a question about child abuse, about childhood traumas.
Yes.
I know some devotees who say, I don't want to go to Vrindavan, to Goloka Vrindavan. Maximum I want is to become Krishna's child, maybe daughter, or some other child, because I had such a troubled, traumatic childhood, I'm dysfunctional. So I need to go through normal childhood, then maybe I can think of something else. I'm so traumatized by my childhood, they say, that I can't think of being a gopi or anything else. I hate the...
Well, that's good that you can't think of being a gopi.
They say I hate the thought of it.
Yeah, I guess people were very sinful in their past lifetimes. And at the same time, they did some devotional service. So they got the opportunity to take birth, have the opportunity to engage in devotional service. But there's a few anarthas they have to get rid of. And it sounds like that's some of them. They thought they were a child. They thought that they're this body now. It's all part of the bodily concept of life. They don't know what... They have no idea what devotional service is. They have absolutely no idea of Goloka Vrindavan or relation with Krishna. All they have is an idea of their material conceptions of life. So, take to the process, chant Hare Krishna, and gradually these things will be purified and what spiritual life is will be revealed. Otherwise, they're just... Well, anyhow, they don't know that they don't know.
This particular devotee I have in mind, actually they are doing a lot of wonderful service.
Well, that's good. And now all they do is have to add Krishna to it, to the service, and gradually they'll understand things properly. In our conditioned life, especially when we're not sufficiently advanced in devotional service, we can't have any idea whatsoever the wonder of and the happiness in pure devotional service. Anyhow, it'll take some time for all of us. Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.